Ever wonder who's really in charge? Like way, way up the ladder. Today's deep dive takes us straight to the top, unpacking the Urantia book's take on how a universe is actually run. You've shared sections from Paper 33, focusing on the administration of a local universe. And let me tell you, it's more structured than a Fortune 500 company. But with, well, infinitely higher stakes. We're talking cosmic courts, intergalactic lawmaking. It's wild. But hold on, because before we get lost in the interdimensional weeds, we need to meet the big boss. And that's where things get really interesting, right? Because this isn't the god we might typically think of. It's Michael of Nevadon.
And grasping why Michael is such a big deal is key to understanding this whole universe administration thing. It's not just that he's powerful. We're talking about beings who can probably think entire galaxies into existence here. But that Michael has this unique authority.
Okay, so walk us through this. What makes Michael so special?
You see, he's a creator son, but not just any creator son. He's the one who chose to organize our local universe, Nebadon. That act, that commitment, gives him a level of claim no other being in this neck of the cosmos has.
It's like he signed on the dotted line for this project,
Yes,
this universe.
this universe, making it personal.
Making it personal.
Precisely. And the Urantia book even talks about spirit gravity. Now, imagine Michael as this source of immense energy, right? It's similar to what the Eternal Sun radiates, but Michael's is focused entirely on Nevadon, holding it all together and guiding its course.
Okay, that makes even the term spirit gravity way cooler. But does he actually do anything? I mean, is this a hands-on management style or more of a figurehead
He
situation?
is astonishingly active. The Urantia book mentions him visiting constellation headquarters, which are already massive, and even individual planets.
Like popping in for a quick hello? No wonder some folks are convinced we've got extraterrestrial visitors.
Well, that's a deep dive for another day. But yes, Michael is engaged. And what's really fascinating is that he also travels to Paradise and Uversa for consultations.
So even with his level of power, he's still collaborating, seeking advice.
Seeking advice, yeah.
That's kind of reassuring, you know?
It speaks to the interconnectedness of a universe, right? That even at the highest levels, there's this recognition that we're all part of this grand cosmic tapestry.
I love that, a cosmic tapestry. But okay, let's say Michael's off on one of these intergalactic fact-finding missions. Who's keeping the lights on back home? Does everything grind to a halt?
Absolutely not. And that's where Gabriel comes in, the ultimate right-hand being, the bright morning star.
Oh, yeah. Gabriel. Almost forgot about him. He's pretty important, right?
Understatement of the millennium. When Michael's away, Gabriel acts as regent of Nevadon, ensuring everything continues without a hitch.
So, like the ultimate cosmic temp agency. Need a universe managed? Call Gabriel. He's got this.
I suppose you could put it that way. But we're doing Gabriel a disservice with that comparison. His role is far more fascinating than that, and we'll definitely circle back to him later.
You've got me hooked. Now, before we get to Gabriel's glamorous life as a cosmic caretaker, we can't forget the other power player in this cosmic drama, the universe mother spirit. Talk about a power couple.
Absolutely. And the Urantia book is very deliberate in how their roles are portrayed. Michael, as the creator's son, is the initiating force. He's the architect, if you will, of our local universe.
So he's the one with the grand vision.
Precisely. But the universe mother spirit, also known as the divine minister, is the one who takes that vision and breathes life into it. Think of her as the artist, the one who takes those initial plans and creates something truly awe-inspiring.
Wow, that's beautiful imagery. But if they're truly partners, who gets the final say? It's never really 50-50 in any power dynamic, is it?
It's actually surprisingly clear in the Urantia book. While they are portrayed as equals in almost every sense, Michael, by virtue of being the creator's son, has ultimate authority.
Okay, so he outranks her.
In a way, yes. But the key here is that they govern Nebadon together. It's like a family, right? The parents might have different roles, and sometimes one might have the final say, but ultimately they're both working towards the same goal.
Raising a happy,
Raising a happy,
healthy universe.
healthy universe.
I like that. Okay, so it's not a dictatorship, but there's definitely a structure here.
Structure, yeah.
But speaking of structure, let's talk about Gabriel. You hinted at his importance earlier. What makes him more than just Michael's cosmic assistant?
Gabriel's origin story alone sets him apart. Imagine this. Before the universe even had its first star, Michael and the universe, Mother Spirit, create one being together, just one that's Gabriel.
Talk about pressure. No pressure, Gabe, just the fate of, everything riding on you.
Right, but that gives you an idea of how uniquely capable he is.
Yeah.
The Urantia book emphasizes Gabriel's understanding of both the spiritual side of things and the material universe.
Right.
He's got this incredible versatility.
Okay, that's cool. But what does he do all day? Well, what does a chief executive of a universe actually put on their to-do list?
Well, think about it. Michael is out there big picture stuff, right?
Yeah.
Gabriel's the one who makes sure those plans actually happen.
Okay.
He's got the mind for details, for administration, for execution, on a scale we can barely fathom.
So if something goes sideways, a planet throws a cosmic tantrum, who steps in? Gabriel.
He is also the chief justice, the final word on appeals within the universe.
Wow.
Plus, he makes sure mandates from the super universe level are implemented.
Okay.
He's got his finger on the pulse of everything going on in Nebadon.
Talk about a multitasker.
I know, right.
He makes being a CEO on Earth look like a walk in the park.
And this actually gets us to something I find really intriguing, this whole concept of a cosmic legal system.
Okay.
You shared about the courts mentioned in the Urantia book.
Right.
And honestly, it's more relatable than you might think.
Okay, because when I hear cosmic courts, I'm picturing something out of a fantasy movie.
Right.
Robes, gavels, the whole shebang.
Visually, who knows?
Right.
But the function resonates. Think about it.
Okay.
You as a human have legal systems to maintain order, right? It's the same principle on a universal scale.
Okay.
The high courts on Salvington deal with issues impacting all of Nebadon.
So what, like intergalactic trade disputes?
Right.
Alien custody battles?
You know, the Urantia book doesn't get into that level of detail.
Okay.
But the point is, there are mechanisms for resolving conflict, for ensuring fairness.
Okay.
Even mercy.
Mercy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a word that usually comes to mind with legal proceedings.
And that's where this gets really interesting. See, the high courts have this system called dual magistracy.
Okay.
One judge represents perfect judgment, divine law.
Okay.
The other, they're an ascended, being someone who's actually experienced life as a mortal.
Whoa, so they bring actual lived experience to the table?
Yes.
That's brilliant.
It's about bringing balanced perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine, even in these high-stakes cosmic cases, there's an attempt to understand the nuances of a situation, not just apply rigid rules.
I've got to say that gives a whole new meaning to a fair trial.
Right.
But if there are courts upholding laws, who's making these laws in the first place?
Here's where it gets wild. Salvington the universe. HQ isn't about making laws. It's about judgment administration.
But wait, seriously, yeah. That seems kind of backward.
It makes sense when you think about it on a cosmic scale.
Okay.
See, each constellation, remember, those are like regions within Nebadon.
Right.
They have their own legislative assemblies. That's where the lawmaking happens.
So it's more like a decentralized representative system.
Exactly. And these assemblies get advice from these high-level councils. Think of them like think tanks of insanely wise beings. They research, they debate, they propose, and then the assemblies vote on things.
There are actual cosmic filibusters happening. I need details.
Well, sadly, we don't get those juicy tidbits.
Okay.
But I love that you're picturing it, right?
Right.
Because even on this grand scale, there's a process for change, for adapting to the needs of a constantly evolving universe.
So it's elegant, but also flexible, kind of like the universe itself, right?
And don't forget, this is all happening on levels of consciousness and energy that we can barely even glimpse from down here.
Right.
The Urantia book just gives us the framework. The reality is probably far more awe-inspiring.
Mind-blowing is more the word I'd use.
Yeah.
But okay, with all this talk about laws and order, where does free will fit in?
The age-old question.
Right.
And it's one that the Urantia book doesn't shy away from. You see, this whole structure isn't about limiting free will. It's about providing a framework within which we can make choices that actually matter.
So like boundaries actually enhance our freedom, not restrict it.
Think of it like this. You ever tried learning an instrument?
Yeah.
At first, the rules, the scales, they feel limiting, right?
Right.
But master those, and you can create anything.
Okay, I'm digging this cosmic jazz metaphor.
Right.
But this brings up something you touched on earlier, planetary quarantines. That doesn't sound very free will friendly.
It's not about punishment. It's about containment.
Okay.
Imagine a planet, or even a whole sector of space, consumed by darkness, by forces going against the universe's best interests.
Yeah.
Quarantine prevents that negativity from spreading, giving time for healing, for rehabilitation.
So less cosmic timeout, more cosmic intervention.
Right.
But who makes that call? Is that Michael's decision?
Actually, that kind of authority goes beyond even a local universe.
Okay.
Remember those super universe courts we mentioned?
Right.
They handle matters that big.
Right. The intergalactic Supreme Court here to lay down the law.
And even then, it's not about some power trip.
Okay.
The Urantia book emphasizes that this hierarchy, this entire system, it's about the smooth functioning of the cosmos, not about who has the biggest gavel.
Right. Balance. It always comes back to balance.
Balance, exactly.
Which I guess is kind of reassuring.
Yeah.
But with all this talk about the grand cosmic scale, it's easy to lose sight of ourselves down here. How does any of this actually relate to our lives on Earth?
That is the question, isn't it? And the Urantia book offers some surprisingly relevant insights.
It's easy to get lost in the cosmic weeds with all this talk about universe administration.
Right.
But you've got me wondering, what's the takeaway for those of us down here on Earth?
Yeah.
Does knowing any of this actually change anything?
That's the heart of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And honestly, the Urantia book suggests that it does. It's about shifting your perspective.
Mm. Okay.
Imagine instead of just feeling like a tiny speck in a vast and indifferent universe, you're a part of this incredible interconnected cosmic family.
Okay. I like where this is going. But families can be messy.
Yeah.
We've got our dramas, our dysfunctions.
Really? That's familiar, right?
Exactly. And the universe, as the Urantia book describes it, is no different. There's structure hierarchy, even the occasional cosmic quarantine. But at its core, it's about growth, learning, and ultimately unity. Unity, huh? That's a big word, especially when we look at how divided things can feel down here.
I hear you. But imagine looking at those divisions, not just through the lens of human history, but through a cosmic lens.
Okay.
Suddenly our problems, even the really big ones, are placed within this much larger context.
So it's not about minimizing our problems, but maybe putting them in perspective.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's where the hope comes in, you see. Mm. Because even when things feel chaotic, even when entire planets are placed under quarantine, a thought that's both terrifying and awe-inspiring, there's this system, this grand structure operating at levels we can barely comprehend that's working to restore balance to guide us towards a brighter future.
Okay. I'm feeling that sense of hope, that cosmic optimism, but practically speaking, how do we tap into that? How should knowing this change how we live our lives?
For me, it's about recognizing the power of even small acts of love, compassion, and understanding. Because if we truly are all connected, as the Urantia book suggests, then our choices have ripples that extend far beyond what we can even imagine.
So it's like every act of kindness, every effort to understand someone different from us is contributing to this cosmic tapestry you mentioned earlier.
Precisely. It's about seeing ourselves as part of something much bigger than ourselves and acting accordingly.
It's a powerful message, that's for sure. And I have to say, it's given me a lot to think about.
Me too. And that's the beauty of the Urantia book, right? It's not about giving us all the answers, but about encouraging us to keep asking questions, to keep exploring, to keep diving deeper into the mysteries of existence.
Which is exactly what we love to do here on The Deep Dive. We've covered so much ground today exploring the intricate workings of a universe according to the Urantia book, from the roles of Michael and the universe mother spirit to the fascinating structure of cosmic courts and legislative assemblies. It's been quite a journey.
Yeah, it has.
But now we want to hear from you. How has this exploration changed your perspective? What insights resonated with you the most? Join the conversation on our website, hit us up on social media, or if you're feeling brave, try explaining spirit gravity to a friend. Trust me, it's a conversation starter. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and as always, keep diving deep.